Blog Talk Radio.
Cause I'll be loving you always.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael. Welcome to the Sunday, the first day of the week. All praises be to the Most High Yah. I'm really excited about this week. I'm so excited about so many things. Just here, giving y'all all the praise, the glory, and the honor. I just want to make sure that you guys can hear me. Brother Uriah, can you hear me? If you can, push one, you and Brother Donia. Uriah has an announcement, and I'm going to open up his mic first, and I want you to give everybody his book is ready. Yay! Hallelujah! His book is ready for order. I want everybody to order his book. I'm telling you, when you get it, it's going to be a pleasure. So I want you to give them the information so they can go on your website and order your book. All right, here you go. I'm opening up your mic. Go ahead, Brother Uriah.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you so much. The website for the book is www.uriahbook.com. I repeat it, www.uriahbook.com. The book is actually $23.99 plus taxes, $4, which is $27.99. Thank you so much. I appreciate the purchase when you do.
And how do you spell Uriah? Spell Uriah for
us. U-R-I-Y-A-H, books.com.
Okay, you guys, well, you got it. He said it's U as in umbrella, R as in Rachel, I as in indigo, Y as in yellow, A is in Apple, H is in Harry, books.com. This book is for all of you all who have become conscious and you have family members who are not conscious yet and they like to read. This is a book for you to get for them to read. It was very well put together. It will definitely encourage them to start speaking out, and especially those who are just becoming conscious. So I think this is wonderful. It's www.uriahbooks.com. Anybody have a problem finding it, please let me know. I'm going to see if I can pull it up right now. www.uriahbooks.com. Books. Let me see what happens. Oh, yeah, it comes right up. So it's beautiful. The cover, the book looks exactly the way the cover is. It is well worth the read. He put a lot of time and effort into this, and this will help everybody to help their families understand why we don't do what we do and who we are as a nation. So I think we should all support him. I'm really happy about it. He got it done. He kept his word, and that's beautiful. We want to overload them to the point where the website crashed because there's so many people buying. Don't forget his book. He put a lot of time and effort into this. Brother Yerushalayim is definitely working on produce and food. Brother Yerushalayim, you want to push one so you can let everybody know what you're doing and when you should be up and running and how things are going? Okay, let me get his mic open. Brother Yerushalayim, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am, and shalom, everybody. Shalom, family. We're going to start, you know, I want to make this statement first that you never know how much the Most High bless you with stuff until you really look. Me and my wife, Sister Rachel, was walking the property today, and come across, not only are we going to have the pecans ready this year, but we have two large fig trees that are full of figs, so we're going to have figs as well.
Wow.
And we will start probably working on those things. The pecans, they'll be ready in the fall. Vegetables, we're going to be fighting deer, and we'll be probably producing sending out the first vegetables in about 2 months.
Okay.
Figs are growing. The first set of figs are growing now. So, you know, we're just looking at different uses, maybe fig jam as well as dried figs and fresh figs.
Wow. And I think figs, isn't that a Mediterranean fruit? Isn't that something that they have over in Israel?
Yes, that is correct.
Wow. That's good to know.
We didn't even know they were there. We had no idea they was there until we started walking around, and it's just the two trees are just loaded with them.
Wow, look at y'all. Look at that. That is amazing. And nothing happens by chance.
No, I agree with that. That's the first thing I was sitting there saying to myself, like, wow, how did this just pop up?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Rocky.
When can we start ordering something from you? Like the pecans or something?
It's going to take a couple of months. It's going to take a couple of months to get vegetables up and growing and where they're producing.
Okay.
Pecans are going to be late in the fall.
Okay.
So we're going to, you know, it's going to take about two more months of, you know, hard work getting everything ready so it can start growing. Land's very fertile, so we shouldn't have a problem with none of that.
Well, throwing things up and running, let me know, because I want to purchase something.
Well, you're not too far from me, so, you know, we might be able to come see you, because I remember we talked one time before. We like an hour and a half away from each other.
Yeah, because I'm right in Jacksonville, so you're right. I'm not too far. I'm about a couple of hours away, something like that, I think.
No, you're like, if you're in Jacksonville, you're only like an hour and 20 minutes away from where I actually live.
Oh, okay, great.
Look at that family connection. Look at this. This is how we supposed to be as family. You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited. Wow. Well, guess what?
Oh,
we're
yeah.
going to advertise this to GOCC and IUIC and all of the camps that's around and let them know, you know, that we have this coming available. And if they want to order, they're more than welcome to do that. We're going to put it up on the Internet. We're going to send out emails and different things like that to mass blast emails so we can get that going. And I think that is going to be absolutely wonderful. Let me open up Brother Donia's mic. Shalom, shalom, Brother Donia. How are you today?
Shalom, family. How are you? I'm fine. I'm looking forward to buying my groceries from you, brother. at least the vegetable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What a blessing. I am so excited. This is really something. Does anyone else on here have something that they would like to introduce? I have worked on, well, I got to say this. I am working on the Zeets, and I think I got about 10 pair right now that's ready. So if anyone, we're gonna put a website together so you guys can order the Zeets and the other things that we have, because you've got to have these. We're working on those right now, so we're getting those together, and we'll be able to order those. And we're going to have them ready for you. And so you can put them on your clothes. Now, we have medium long. We don't have real long. We just have medium long. I haven't made any short ones as of yet, but I'm just trying to make, at least get everybody one pair, because you have to wear these. You know, this is something mandated. We're supposed to wear these on our clothes. So if you need a pair of Zeets. If you need them to go on the four corners of your clothes, I need you to email me at the Yehuda Project at gmail.com, and we will make sure that you get a pair. Let me know if you need them. If you can make them yourself, don't worry about it. If you don't have them, you need to have them on. That's a part of the lot. We have to put them on. So I just wanted to share that with you. And the other things, don't forget, tomorrow we're having a business meeting at 7:30 p.m. on the regular call that we come on Saturday, so that we can talk about the things that we're putting together. And all the people who email me and said, I want to help do something, we need you to be at the meeting. So please try to fix your calendar where you can be there at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time so we can get this thing going, because it appears as though the Most High is smiling down on us building our culture. So we need to do that, and we need to be excited about that and keep this moving, because this is truly a blessing. All right, anybody else? We got quite a few people on the line today. You know, it's been a blessing. Just want to let everybody know that, you know, what we're having, what's coming available, and it's all coming. We just wanted everybody to know, you know, if you have real estate or you're trying to invest in real estate, you know, we have real estate agents that are a part of the Nation of Yehuda, you know, and they will be able to help you do some things if you're interested in buying property. Whatever it is, we come from all walks of life. Whatever it is. So we're definitely going to do that. We're going to put this thing together, you know, so that we can become a resource for each other. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't cut out the people that you're used to dealing with all the time, you know, but we should really start dealing with each other, too. Definitely necessary. All righty. So since we got that out of the way, Brother Donnie, we missed you yesterday.
You know what? I slept until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I went to sleep. I went in the bedroom to lay down at 2 o'clock. I said I'll be up by 3:30. Never happened.
That happened to us. That's why I didn't lay down today. It was about 1:30. I said no, because if I lay down, it's a chance I might sleep through the show. So I concur. I understand. I do understand. You know, but what a blessing it was. You missed a good class yesterday. I enjoyed that class yesterday.
That's when the good classes happen, when I'm not there.
No, I don't know about anybody else, but anybody that enjoyed that class yesterday, please push one. I have had people call me and say, I really enjoyed that class. They was like, that was different. It was really different. Hold on, we got area code 336. Area code 336, your mic is open, you're on the air. What about that class yesterday?
I thought it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. You missed it, Brother Danya. It was beautiful. It was very encouraging.
When I'm not there. No, I'm kidding around.
Yes.
Well, you know what? I was told today when I put this class online on YouTube to make sure that I put the PowerPoint slides of the differences up there so people can see what we are actually talking about. So I think that I'm going to work on doing my best to get that up there and add those pictures to the actual YouTube clip that we're going to put up this time for people to actually see, because we dealt with the family album yesterday and understanding what that Bible is for us as Israelites. And it was I enjoyed it. And it was just simple. It wasn't, you know, it was just a simple class, and I enjoyed it myself. I really did. You know. So we are moving forward. I'm so excited, you know, to know, you know, that we've graduated spiritually and maturely to a certain point. And hold on, area code 720, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Hi, Sister Yaina, I just wanted to thank you for teaching such a good lesson yesterday, because, you know, we go through our whole lives getting someone else's interpretation of our history and our family's autobiography, and And when you let someone else teach you your history, inevitably it's going to be wrong or it's going to be misinterpreted. So it was just a good lesson. I so enjoyed it, and I'm just glad you did it.
Well, thank you for the whole example of the family album stuff, because I think you were the one who came up with that whole family album thing, you know, that this is our album, and when you allow someone else to hijack your family album and distort the figures of the album, they're really doing your family an injustice.
I agree.
That was very good. That thing stuck with me, and I was like, you know, that does make a whole lot of sense. And what caught me yesterday the most was there was a gentleman on there, a voice that I had never heard before, and he said, oh, okay. And it was like something clicked.
I think when we accept that it's okay for someone else to interpret our history, then we kind of fall into a complacency. But we have to remember that the message of salvation was to come through his people. And this whole world was supposed to get the information from us about our Elohim, and what the level of righteousness that we were supposed to live in this earth. And if you take that from the original people, the whole message gets distorted.
It does. And I think that that's where, you know, my understanding came in yesterday as well. It's like, you know, this is a very significant time, because now he has given his people, the people that he chose, not the people who chose to live in Israel, but the people that he originally chose to be his people, he's waking them up so that we can tell the story.
Absolutely, yes.
And who can tell it better than his own people?
Hey, we're the only ones that can tell it accurately.
There's only one. And you know, it's really a love affair. It's a love affair between an Elohim and his people. And the fact that just a little bit of sanctions that he's given us to be able to awake, it's shined a whole new light on everything, and it's just a little small fraction. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when he finally turn around and face us.
Yep, yep. And I miss Brother Adonai, because I could just imagine him saying, that's our Elohim and that's our book. So I kept thinking about him saying that as you were teaching that lesson yesterday.
Absolutely. And the problem, and you know what the best part of it was, is that there was no bashing of the other nations. Because the way the story has gone is the way that the Most High wanted the story to go. And he's so powerful that you got two groups of people. You got one group that has enjoyed privilege, and they've been on top. And they've enjoyed something that another group has been longing to have, and not understanding why we were so downtrodden, that we understand now. That when he explained that to me and he showed me, he's like, I am the one who instituted it all. I'm the one who put the privilege in place. I'm the one who made sure that these people stayed above you and you stayed beneath, because this was a part of the plan. You know, and you have to understand that even though these people have had these privileges and they have gotten comfortable in privilege, you can't blame them for enjoying privilege.
Right.
And the Most High set it up.
It was done by the divine hand of the Most High. Yep.
Absolutely. And when you understand that, it makes you, there's no hatred toward any nation, because everyone has played their part according to the way he had it done. But since now, he's getting ready to come back on the scene. He's waking up his people.
Yeah, absolutely. All praises to the Most High.
You know?
Yeah.
And it appears that he's not going to change it. He's just going to secure us to a place where we're going to be safe.
Right.
Because there's a timeline in the scripture that says, until the time of the Gentile be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when you can get there, you have really grown up when you can get there and say, I'm not mad at nobody. I don't hate anybody. This was all orchestrated by the Most High, and everybody has to play their part until the appointed time. He just told us, I'm going to come and get you, I'm going to bring you back to your land, and I'm going to make sure you be safe. That's what he told us.
Yep. Yes, yes, indeed. And he promised our forefather, Abraham, that he was going to do this.
Yes, he did.
I mean, long time ago. And so we can trust him, and you don't have to go through life with malice or hatred. You just know that he's working his plan.
He is the master, he's the master puzzle maker, okay? He is.
And with that thought in mind, what we have to keep in mind is something to her point, the sister's point from the very beginning about it being our book is someone else telling the story or the narrative. The narrative is not told. It's yet to be told. We still have a part to play, and according to the scripture, it's yet to be told. It has not fully been fulfilled yet. So they've told a narrative that was not true, or there's a story that's set in motion. That is not the story. We still have a part to play. We still have a story to tell. And from what I understand, the scripture says that they're going to say that no longer will they talk about how he brought us out of Egypt. But when he brings us out of the north country, that's the story. So the story hasn't been told yet. It's you know what I've come to understand? We are living just like the ancients lived, and they were being written about. Somewhere, somebody is writing our story. How well we hold on, how well we overcome, we are writing our story. We're making the scene for the next stage, right? If we want to take that that narrative and think of it that way, we are setting up for the next play to be played out. And we're playing our parts, as the saying so often reminds us, but we are playing a part, and it will be told, and it's not a done story yet. That's why I'm not so bent over or hurt about the issue, because I understand that it's not done. The story is still being written. It's still being told. We're still playing our parts out, and it has to be yet played out, and that's what I understand. I hope that what I'm saying makes a bit of sense.
Oh, absolutely. And the beautiful part about it is this. When you look at the story, now you realize he's letting you see pieces of the puzzle come together. So, you know, he says that when he comes back to get us, the whole world is going to know that we're his people.
Mm-hmm.
And then place us back to the land. Now, once that hits, guess what that's going to do for the people that have been on top? It's going to shock them to the point where the story is going to be, if the story that has been told all this time is going to be put in question.
And isn't there a scripture that said they will say, surely we have inherited lies or something of that nature?
That is exactly what it says. That's so true. That's right.
We have,
and so have they. Unfortunately, they're the ones who've given it to us, but people in lesser positions or lesser power. Generational, they have inherited the same lie that caused them to believe in what they believe, you know? So,
And the version of the story. You know, when we have to bring everybody back to Yah, we have to bring them back and say, this is the Elohim that we serve. This is the Elohim of the universe, and this is the one you have to serve. Now, however, it doesn't stop the story. Because even during all that time, they will still be continuing, the Gentile will still be continuing doing what they're doing. And like we always said, everybody got to make a choice.
And Sister Aina, and to your point, and to the first woman's point as well, too, there's a time when we are going to be a light to them. We aren't a light to them right now. We're a shame to them and to the whole world and ourselves, really, to Yah. But there will be a time when we will be a light to them, when we will be a light to the Gentiles, and then that's when they'll have an opportunity to cleave to us. Yeah. So the story, you're right, it is unending until he ends it, you know? So you're right. Yeah.
It's the greatest story that's ever been hid in plain sight.
It is. And we are so fortunate to, here we are, we thought we had a backhand roll. We thought we were a prop. And here we are, we are the apple of his eye. Worst in a stage and never knew it. You know, honestly, we thought we were somewhere back in the background, you know, with the mops and buckets, you know. And here we are. We're going to be center stage. It's amazing to me. I said that yesterday, and it does. It just, it overwhelms my heart to think about how gracious and how kind he is to consider us in such a way. But he said that from the beginning. What is we? What are we that he was mindful of, that he made a plan for us? From the foundation of the world, he made that thing. He had us in mind. It's a lot. It is a lot to think about.
Really,
it's very overwhelming. It is.
And like the sister
said,
that is why we experience so much anger now toward the people of the other nations, is because, one, it's a hard pill to swallow to accept the fact that the story you have been given may not have been true. And we've all been through that. We've all experienced that anger, that separation, you know, that denial, all of the stages that you go through in death, you know, to say, wait a minute, and then to find out that the people who has been a nuisance from the very beginning, and the people that you never understood, and the people that you have been mistreating are his people, and that he chose them for his own inheritance, and that is where the envy comes from. And the envy is what drives hatred. And it's like, no, this is when you have to do some self-inventory, and you have to look at yourself and say, what have I done to make this situation worse? You know, because it's something, it's a part of the story that cannot be changed. He chose us. We didn't choose him. And knowing that, and us knowing that, and confessing that, that is where a lot of people suffer a lot of envy. They say to themselves, no, it can't be the niggers. Now, come on now. Them can't be God's people, not the niggers.
Anybody but them, right?
Anybody but them, right. It can't be the niggers. You mean them is God's people? I've even had black people say that to me. I've had black people say that to me. No, it can't be the niggers now. It ain't them. Yes, it is us.
That's the beauty of it. It really is. That is the beauty of it, honestly. And throughout our life, they show us these stories of, like, that diamond in the rough. Throughout our life, they show us these stories about the underdog. Throughout our entire life, they were talking about us. They were really mimicking and telling us something that we weren't catching, you know? It is us, you know? It is us. It's supposed to be us. The last has to be the first.
Has to be the first. It got to be
the
Ray
last
Ray.
You'd ever consider.
Ray Ray and Pookie them and Shaquita and all them. That's all our family. Like it or not, you know it is. You know it really is, and I think that's where, you know, the disbelief comes in, because people have given us this form of righteousness. You know, oh no, you have to do this. You have to make sure you do A, B, C, and D, and then you are considered to be righteous before God. You know, and we all try to live up to that. But then when we realize and when we look back on it and when we became woke, we understood that had nothing to do with nothing. You know, and man has a form of godliness, but that's not what our Elohim requires. So, you know, when we look at those things, I think that's another part why they get angry. You mean to tell me that all of these things that I've been doing is not acceptable? Oh, my God, well, what are we doing it for? You know, and you have that. It's all a part of the death process that you have to go through. You have to go through, and that is our nation and all the other nations that have taught us the things that they thought we needed to know. You know, you got to go through that death process. This thing is real. And the more we get to know our Elohim, we tell other nations, like, no, this is not what he requires. He requires us to do X, Y, and Z.
No. Right.
So it's been a very beautiful experience. I'm excited to see where we go next. You know, he doesn't expect us to interfere with the story. All we have to do is embrace who we are and build on our culture and wait for him to come and get us. And it's just like David. You understand that with King Dawid, when Saul messed up, Samuel anointed Dawid king before Saul was out of commission. So Dawid was anointed king while Saul was still king. It took 15 years for the transition to change, for Saul to die, and for Dawid to move into position. So while Dawid was over here anointed, Saul was trying to kill him. And you got to look at this thing right. You know what I'm saying? So while we over here anointed, waiting on y'all and waking up, the other nations is trying to take us out. So, you know, when you look at this, it's like, okay, so Dawid is over here waiting to be anointed king. Y'all said you're going to be king of Israel. Saul is over here telling people, I'm going to kill him. I need to find him. I'm going to kill him. Dawid is hiding. He ducking. He going through all kind of changes, waiting on y'all to deliver. That is exactly where we are right now. We're in the same position right now. We've been anointed. We've been awakened. The Most High said, hold on, I'm coming to get you. And the other nations is looking at us like, who the hell you think you are? Y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of niggas. We going to take you out like we've been taking you out. Same situation.
And they're fighting to remain in power. They're fighting to remain in power.
Come on.
And when you say that, I think about Dawid. With humility, he let the Most High do his work so that, because he knew at the appointed time the Most High was going to bring him into where he's supposed to be. He was going to bring him in his place of hierarchy. So
yes,
it was like we don't have to be angry. We can just know that the Most High is going to execute this plan just as his prophecy has said.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So in between them 15 years, Dawid had to trust y'all. And that's why that's what they hear from us all the time. Trust y'all. Be obedient. Trust him. Keep his word. Keep his laws. Keep his statutes. Keep his commandments. And wait on him. Because he didn't wake us up for them to take us out. Wait on him. And while we on him, all we can do is be there for those who are waking up because he's waking up his people. And at the appointed time, guess what he's going to do? He's going to reverse the curse. He can switch everything all the way around. All right, I'm coming to get you. And everybody going to be woke at that point like, oh, my God, those are really the people.
No.
When we take our rightful position, when he makes it a priority to come and get us, when he said, you think I showed out when I came to get y'all in Egypt, wait till I pull you from the north. He going to show out, and they going to know at that point, these are really my people. These are y'all's people.
Wow.
We in that middle period. And I hope it don't take 15 years, but I'm just saying we're in that period of waiting. Just like Dawid was waiting to be king, we are waiting to be moved out of the place where we are. And we just got to trust y'all.
Right, and hold on to his promises.
Hold on to his promises. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. And watch him do what he said he's going to do, because his word is not going to come back to your void. It's not going to come back void.
Never. Never.
You know? And people say, well, I thought the 400 years was over, and I thought we would have been gone. Guess what? I'm sure Dawid went through the same question in his mind. Well, Dad, you anointed me when I was a young man. I'm 20-some years old now. What's going on? I thought I would have been. No, he didn't. He waited on y'all. He waited.
He did. Had
he waited.
Had to hide in caves sometimes, but he waited.
He waited.
Yes.
You know? You know, when you are ordained to be a specific people, and nobody can take that from us. Nobody can take that from us. We are who we are.
Yes. Yes.
You
when you are ordained, you're right. That's right. If you are ordained, and if you're, then you're destined. It's already spoken. It's going to come to pass, and there's nothing no one can do about it. The only thing about Saul and King David is that, again, they were the same. You know, they were from the same lineage. You know, not lineage, but the same the houses. They were from the same houses. Whereas with the people that are oppressing us, we're not the same. You know, but they were put into that place to oppress us because of our own sin.
They were put on top. They were put on top for a specific reason. They was put on top. Mm-hmm. And it's all about the position of authority. They was given the position of authority by God, that he gave it to them.
Someone said yesterday he shamed us with the people that weren't a people, and it's so true. Mm-hmm.
He did. He gave them the position of authority. And guess what? We are still under those authoritative positions.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the Most High is leaving us under those authoritative positions until he comes and gets us. Once he shows the world who we are, nobody will be able to rule over us ever again.
But you know what, Sister Aina? I think that in the waiting, and while we are waiting for him to return, I understand that there's work we're supposed to be doing. Each individual person has work to do to feel that we're found worthy. It's just not heritage or lineage or identity gets you in. You know, you got to be a covenant keeper. You got to be secured. And I think that's the part that we're forgetting. We talked about this once before about not throwing the baby out with the bath water. The church did give us some fundamentals, and we can take those fundamentals and merge it or mesh it up against the word of the Most High. There's work that we have to do. Someone may sit around here and wait and still miss the boat because they didn't secure themselves. They didn't get the leaven out of their soul and their spirit. I've come to understand that these appointed times, these times that we're being called to come before him, is a chance for us to present ourselves to him as best as we can. You know, that's our chance to work on being righteous, to learn what it means to keep Torah, and I mean all of it. So I think that sometimes we just looking and waiting for him to come, but we aren't doing the work that we need to do on the inside to be worthy, to be plucked, to be chosen, you know?
Well, guess what? Even it's two different things going on here, because to be chosen is one thing, but to be taken, he said not one was going to be left behind. So everybody's coming.
They're coming. But when you get to the wilderness, will you be able to stand? Someone said to me, I'm not going to worry, because when I get to the wilderness, that's when I'm going to get right. I said, you might not make it to the wilderness. To get right. Who determines that you make it to the wilderness?
That's true.
We practice this because it's going on in the Chaim already. This has already been going on, and they're watching. You know, we're given commands, and week after, like I call it year, but it's, you know, year after year, he's watching. We're supposed to get better and better and better. We're not supposed to become stagnant. Stale water attracts disease, mosquitoes, problems.
Yep.
You know, we have to be true within the Most High. We got to keep on moving. We do, and it's true. Every round does go higher and higher. We have to get higher, not just in our esoteric knowledge, but in our faith and our living. And I think that's the part that we're living out. People don't want to live right anymore, but yet they want to be chosen. They want to be Hebrew. They want to be Israelite. Well, they've been Hebrew and Israelite in the Word before too, and they got cut off because of how they were living. That's how we got in this mess. To be honest with you, that's how we got here. That really is. For some reason, we like everything except the Word. And I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem. It looks like the more I eat it, the more I want it. The more I get into it, the more I want to know. And it troubles me when I come across us and we're content just to know we're Hebrew. We're content to just work on cultural and put on the outward stuff, but we don't have no inner, you know, the inside. We got to cleanse. It still is an inside-out job. It still works that way. You know?
It does. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. And every man is going to be, every man's faith is going to be tried at the level that they're on. And it is, it's an individual walk that you have to have with Yah. And that's the beauty of it, because he knows which ones is going to be chosen and which ones aren't, and we don't know that.
That's right. And you know, that's right. And do you know what I've come to understand? There's a difference. There's a difference between the elect and the remnant. There's a difference.
Yeah,
yes. That just, he's precise in what he says. When the Most High and Christ begin to speak about how that some, all, you know, they're called, but only few are chosen, that's the same with the elect and with the remnant. You know, it's just that the more I've learned to keep the feast and meet at the appointed time, not when I want to go. It's just like a job interview. You can't show up when you want to and think you're going to get the job. The company has to be desperate to keep you if you're an hour late. If a company hires you and you're an hour late and they keep you, something wrong with that company.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So it's the same with the Most High. He has appointed times and he has requirements. We meet man's requirements. I don't see anything wrong with striving to meet the Most High's requirements. Yeah, he still is a holy Elohim. He's not backwards. No.
Yes, ma'am. It is truly. It's going to be a wonderful journey. And we're going to just watch it play out and who's who and how he does it. Because, again, you know, this is his story and he wrote it. And we don't know all of the details, but all we can do is do the best we can while we're here and clean our lives up. And you're absolutely right, you know, but all we can do even with that is teach the word. And the word is the one that has to do. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword, of dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. So it's there. It will do the work if the person allows it to. It will do the work, but it's an individual thing. That's why I tell everybody, do what he told you to. Make sure that you do what he told you to do. You know, I'm not the one to tell you he didn't tell you. You know, as long as it ain't hurting nobody or killing nobody or doing nothing crazy, anything positive from the Most High that he tells you to do for yourself to get yourself together, do it.
That's right. And I think the most beneficial thing we can do to ourselves, because we have access to, is to wash ourselves by the water of his word. You said a cutting asunder. You have to wash yourself, too, with the word. And it works. And when I learned how to apply the word to my life, it changed my life. And then I found out that, okay, now he wants more. And that's how it works. Once you do one thing, he got something else he's going to require you to do. And you're just going to keep advancing in him. And it's not like, you know, you're getting exalted or high. No, you're getting deeper and deeper and lower and less of you. You're just diminishing and coming into his will, because he has a will, you know, and a way in which he does things, and that's what I'm learning. And it's all of it. It's just so beautiful to me to be selected to be a part of that. And I often, you know, tell people that I speak to, I'm there's nothing different from me and then you. But you got to put your time in, just like anything else. You know, when you learn how to sew, the less time you practice, the worse your sewing stitches. The more you practice, the better it gets. It's the same with the Most High. We got to put our time in with him. You know, those songs, people, you know, we've come into knowledge and we throw those songs away, they still have merit, because payday still is coming. And you're going to get paid according to what you put in. It's true.
That's true.
It's the same on my job. That's right. I don't work a full week's worth pay. I'm not going to get a full week's worth pay. And how can I look around and ask someone else to make up the difference? No, I have to make it up ourselves. And you're right. We don't know what relationship he has with anyone else, but I tell people, honestly, take it seriously. It's your life that's at stake. It really is. And sometimes the saving of your family. You might be your Gaal, what they call a kinsman redeemer. They're watching your life. How are you going to win somebody and you doing the same thing they're doing? You have
That's true.
Yeah, we got to hew the line, you know.
And it all
people
starts
talk
with
about
obedience.
The older people, but they told the truth.
Yeah, and that the scripture that I gave, Hebrews 4:12, It says the word of Yah is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and the intent of the heart. So, you know, that is true, and that's one of the scariest things to me about Yah, is because, you know, I've been studying him for a long time, especially when I became woke, you know, and I compared him to the version that we received in Christianity. And this one that we know he has a heart that's compassionate, and he's long suffering. You know, because one thing Yah doesn't do is he doesn't beat us over the head. He's not standing there with a whip saying, you better do it, you better do it, you better do it. Yah doesn't do that. He's never done that. He's told you. He said, if you obey my law, statutes, and my commandments, I will be with you. If you disobey me, this is what's going to happen. Point blank, just like a father does. A father says, this is the rules. I'm going to lay it down for you. This is what I require you to do. Now, if you disobey me, I'm going to punish you. And everybody has the right of free choice. He does not send the angels down to toe the log. He doesn't send an angel down to tell you, you got to go to the left. Don't go to the right. Go to the left. He don't do that. He gives you free space to make your choice. And you know what example that I use for that is King Solomon. Solomon got a level of wisdom that no man will ever have. He asked Yah for that wisdom, and Yah gave it to him. He knew more about the earth and the things going on in the earth than any man living on the earth. However, the Most High gave him a stipulation. He said, I will be the God, I will be your God, and I'm going to be your Elohim. If you obey me and you do what I tell you to do and you don't disobey me. He did not interfere with Solomon's life. He sent Nathan to him as his prophet, and Nathan watched. Nathan stepped back and he watched Solomon's life.
Come on.
Solomon took Uriah's wife, and he killed Uriah, and that's when the Most High stepped up and knocked on his door. And he said, I seen what you did. And you know you weren't supposed to do that. Now, as a result of that, you're going to have to pay for what you've done. Everybody has a right to make their choices. The Most High ain't going to police you. He's not going to ride under you.
Mm-mm.
He don't do all that. But when the time comes and you know, now it's one thing to be struggling with something and you're really making an effort to change and you having trouble and you praying about it. But when you deliberately go and do things anyway just because, it's like Afion said, at some point judgment going to come. And when he come knocking, he going to send somebody by first to tell you. That's how long-suffering he is. The Most High see you, he told you better stop. He might send another person by to tell you, he see you, you better stop. But when judgment comes, you know it's here, you know why it's here. That's the beauty. He don't force nobody to do nothing. He just sit back and watch. He said, keep my laws, statutes, and my commandments. That's your choice. That's why I tell everybody, you have to start wearing these tzitzits. This is something that he requires us to do. This is not if I want to or when I feel like it. This is just as important as keeping the Sabbath day. You have to have them on. You know, some camps teach that we don't wear them anymore. I don't get into that. I just do what the word tells us. I don't interpret it. I do what the word tells me to do. So, you know, do I struggle with things? Absolutely, I do. I struggle with I have my own struggles. But I'm too scared to deliberately defy Yah. I'm too scared. It's too much. I don't want to miss out on the gathering. I don't want to miss out on the exit. And I don't want to miss out on the land. I want to go when everybody else goes. I don't want to miss out on that. So some people do play chicken, and they still playing chicken with Yah, but he knows those people. He He knows who they are.
That's a beautiful way of putting it, because that is so true. If they are playing the chickens, he knows it and they're his, right? He already knows who they are. To your point about free will, he gave me a beautiful experience that cost me something that I can't give back. Only he can give to me. You can't trespass against other people's free will. This I know for sure. It's not our place to pound anyone over the head. It is not our place, like you said, to drag people. But we had better drag ourselves, right? We had better keep ourselves before him as an individual. It is an individual thing. This I know 100 for sure. An easy cop-out would be say, well, everybody can't go anyway. No, that's not the point. That is not the point. It's just not our place to trespass against other people. He taught me something, and what he taught me is he don't go against someone else's will and influence them. Don't you do it. We're not supposed to do that. We cannot, because when you do, then you're operating in another spirit, and that's not his spirit, because he don't trespass against other people's free will. He just doesn't. He gave me a very painful experience in my personal life to understand that that's not your place. You are out of order. You're out of place. You can't do that. You can pray for it, but you can't do that. You can't influence what I don't influence. You just can't. You can pray for the spirit to be influenced, for them to be influenced, but you cannot step ahead of him. You just can't do that. So you are right to the point that he doesn't browbeat anyone. He don't have to. He don't have to. You come if you want to. You come if you choose. It is an individual choice. You are so right about that. But you're right also about you don't want to miss out. Who wants to miss out with the opportunity to commune with him, right, to have fellowship, you know, to be forewarned of something that's coming, to see it before it happens. You know, I often tell people I feel like I'm up on top of a wall looking down, and I can see people going all kinds of ways, and I want to tell them, please don't go left, please don't go there, please don't go there, please don't. They don't listen. I've done that for years, you know, when I was younger. I did that for years. I don't do that anymore. Now I just cry and pray. I let your holy will be done. Let your holy true will be done in that person's life and keep them. You know, but everybody I found out can't see. Sometimes you can see further than the person you're trying to help, and they're the ones in the situation, but they can't see me. So it used to get painful, but I've learned they're not my people. Mm-mm.
That's right.
They're not. They're my brethren and my sisters. That's right.
And when you get that part, you got it. You know, these are Yah's people. And
that's right.
The one thing that we don't know is everybody's struggle. We don't know what everybody's gone through. We don't know what's in their heart. We don't know what their past has been like. We don't know what their future is going to be like. We don't, but he does. And you can't be so hard. I used to be hard on people. Oh, I used to be so hard on people, especially in church. Oh, my gosh, it was like it's way or no way. You either get it together or you're going to die. And it was like, you know, the Most High pulled me one day. He said, I don't need you to be the spiritual police. I don't need that. You know, and you know what? I had to go through some real serious trials and tribulations before I started the Nation of Yehuda to let me know that compassion is the flavor for the day. It is. He said, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, and it is the love of Yah that draweth men unto repentance. You know, and it's that love, because I don't know what you've gone through. You can't imagine some of the things that I've gone through, some of the things I've put myself through, you know, that I apologize for today. But he had to show me, you know, that compassion is the flavor for the day. Love is the foundation, and that's what is needed, because I can't institute judgment on anyone. I can't make anybody do anything, and I'm a different person today as a result of. I used to be hard on black men, you know, because I was living under this illusion that the game was fair. I was living under this illusion that the opportunities were equal. I was living under the illusion that they were just lazy and didn't want anything, because these were the things that were drilled into me by people who didn't know no better. You know, and then when I understood what I understand today, I looked at it completely different. Now, do I feel like they should have a job? Absolutely, they should work. They should work. A man don't work, he shouldn't eat. However, I understand the struggle now that they go through because there is another man over them that is of another nation, and this is how Yah made it. And you know, it's a totally different situation than what we go through. I mean, we experience things too, but from a man's perspective, and I'm totally different now. And those were the things that he showed me. In order to be able to understand these people of mine, you have to understand the details of the curse, the things that was put on us as a curse. You know, and everybody, well, he don't want nothing, he ain't got nothing. You don't got nothing either. And that's not proper English, but I'm just going to say it like that. You don't got nothing either. You don't have anything either. I got to have somebody that's got something. You don't have nothing either. All we have basically is a job. And at some point, if they decide that's over too.
Yep.
It is by the grace.
Exactly.
And it's by Yah's grace that each one of us eats every day. It's his grace.
Yes. And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to let someone else talk. What he taught me is that the things that I can foresee, and I can see like the outcome of it, and I'm worried, and you know, I'm trying to get the person out of it, how he let me know that, and I learned this to my own daughter, how do you know if that's not his way of making me? How do you know that I don't have to go through that to get to where you are to be a better person? And I learned that, yeah, he may put people in or allow people to get into situations because that may be what it takes for them to get it. Maybe you can see it and you back up because that's how you operate. But at the same time, maybe that person has to get involved and go through the course to be better. Maybe that's the way he's developing him. And he taught me that. I learned to not to get in his way because I can mess up their development. I can cause them to miss something crucial in the process of them being developed. So I've learned to pray about it, and if he doesn't give me to intervene or to speak, I don't speak about it. Even if it hurts me and I see it and I know the outcome is going to be just what I see, it still, there's a lesson in them for having the experience, and that's what he's taught me. He's a teacher, and he's going to, you know, the classroom is different for each person. So we all learn differently. It's just not my place to meddle because then you become a busybody. And there's so many other terminologies in the word you show me. You don't want none of that applied to you. And I said, oh, no. So that backed me up. But, yeah, it's all a learning process for all of us. And we all learn differently. And so he's going to teach us differently. The experience is going to be different for each person because
absolutely.
We learn differently.
You know, that's
yeah.
I tell these. Even with the camps, you know, you have some of these young guys at the camps, and they're angry, and they teach anger. And, you know, when my son became awoke, he started looking at some of these camps on YouTube, and he began to be angry. And he was angry at the people of the other nations, and he was making comments. And I'm not a Facebook person, so I don't have Facebook, but I was being told that some of the comments that he was making was derogatory. And I had to contact him and say, look, this is new for you. You're just waking up. But you can't hate those people because those people have done what Yah has called them to do. Because the reason no one could have done anything to us if we had been obedient. We can't blame anyone else. You know, and that's what I tell the camps. You know, you got to be careful when you use rhetoric and when you use anger as a medium to recruit people, because some people use that as a method to go out there and hurt people. And that's when you're going to get in trouble with Yah. You know, because our job is never to incite violence. We are never supposed to be the ones to incite a revenge. The Most High said, vengeance is mine. So when you understand that, then you understand you have to blame yourself. And then that's been the hardest thing for a lot of people to swallow, because had we been obedient, they would have never been able to do this to us.
No, they'd have never been able to do it. I think the message is for us to continue our strive to be obedient. I thought it was interesting that when you played the Megyn Kelly making descriptions of what Santa Claus looked like and what she says Jesus looked like, and I know you kind of brought us to the understanding of Jesus and who their perception of Jesus is really true, But when she was talking about, well, Jesus looks this way, and the whole world is under that interpretation of, or that personification of who Jesus is, without truly knowing the true Elohim and the true Mashiach. So it's like we've all been under a delusion, not only us, but them, a lot of them as well, not all. Some of them know the truth. But a lot of them have been under this delusion of who they are and who the Messiah is and who they call God is. And so they're operating under that privilege. So it's something we should not do is become in a spirit of vengefulness or being angry, because like you said, the Most High executed the whole thing because of our disobedience. So we are to learn at this point to be obedient and to just follow righteousness, and he will bring all this stuff into fruition. He will bring it all into play as he sees it, and we're to accept that.
Yeah, absolutely. This is his plan. And like I said, the other nations, you cannot blame them. Now the evilness of them is he said, I'm going to put you in a land where your enemies are going to hate you. He told you that. All that's him. For them hating you, that's Yah. All that's him. You know, and he told us he was going to do that. He told us you're going to be in a land among your enemies. And your enemies are your enemies. Now, there are some very nice people, you know, that are a part of the other nations. I experienced a man the other day. He came out to fix something in my home, and it was one of the nicest guys I have ever encountered. Very nice guy. So it's not everybody, but there are some people that have been designated to play the enemy, and they play it well, and that is the Most High doing as well. This is his story, and we have to understand that our part to play in this story is to be obedient and gather ourselves and teach our children to get ready to go back to where when he gets ready to come and get us. And that is our job. And in the meantime, when we become obedient, he protects us. He protects us. So we have to understand that that is the story that has to be told. You know, it is never to be, and I had to tell my son, we don't promote hatred. The Most High will get you if that is what you're out there promoting. We don't promote violence to the people of the other nations, and you're going to get in more trouble when you go out and you do that kind of thing. Your job is to get yourself together and know Yah and be obedient and bring your family under the umbrella of Yah. That's you. That's the job that we all have.
Yep, and to bring your family truth, which was a part of your lesson yesterday. Bring them into the truth. Help them understand what the truth really is. All right.
Absolutely. And live the best life we can live while we're here and serve Yah and do what we're supposed to do and very quietly live a very eventful and prosperous life. I mean, really, because when you have peace of mind, you have wealth. When you have been released from all this foolishness, you have wealth. It is a wealth that no man can begin to measure.
That's true. That is true. And I will say this for our Hebrew men on the line. To me, there is nothing more beautiful than to see a Hebrew man in obedience and loving his family, loving his children, and following righteousness. There is nothing more beautiful than that. Nothing more appealing than that.
I agree with you 100%. I need to step away for a minute. Brother Yerushalayim, Brother Uriah, and you, sis, can you guys talk for a minute? I'll be right back. I got a phone call.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm here. What are we going to talk about?
I think we should continue what we were talking about. The sister was talking about. She needs to go ahead and continue.
Sis, you want to continue?
Can I just ask, and I know I'm not trying to air laundry for our people, but what would you guys say that as people of the Most High and as a woman of the Most High that our husbands and those of us, or those of you who are following the Most High's commandments, what would you desire the women of righteousness to adhere to in order to help the family and the nation?
I would just say just come in truth and just come in truth. And I mean because there's so many ills and so many pains that we have against each other as male and female. I think the biggest thing is just coming together and be truthful with one another and be faithful to one another and loyal to one another. We got to learn to love again because we really don't know how to love each other right now.
And it's like you said, sis, you know, attractive thing is when you're being obedient and following the law of the commandments. To me, that's very attractive to me. That will draw my attention. The obedience in itself draws my attention. It really does.
Okay. But I know sometimes we can be too critical of each other, and it's not always done under the eyes of righteousness and under the obedience of what Yah would have us do towards each other. So I thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. And it's not as grievous as people think. It's really, I mean, once your eyes is open and you realize you have to do that, it comes naturally. At least for me, I'm speaking of, it comes very naturally. Once my eyes are open, I know I need to be obedient. I start to follow him, like, immediately. Yes, we
That's
do struggle
right.
with something. Yeah, and we do struggle with something. However, even within that struggle, you know, your heart is in the right place and you're really trying to do right. You really are. Because
yes.
you have such a love
right.
for the Most High, you know?
That's right.
Right.
That's the motivating factor. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we can become too critical sometimes because the media and TV has pretty much narrated that if you're not in this type of corporation or CEO of some firm, that you don't have value. And I think we need to turn our young people and our young Hebrew sisters in a different narrative and a different way of seeing things. A Hebrew man who is with his children, enjoying his family and treating his family well, and following the Most High's laws, statutes, and commandments, I think is something that is far above what we are seeing on TV and in the reality shows. So for the two of you who are following obedience and loving your families, I just want to thank you. This is being part of the tribe. I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you. And so we thank you for your comments and your input, because we believe the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Listen at you guys. I think that's great. Yes, indeed. I do. I think it's great. This is how we heal. This is how we heal. No, hold on. I got some mics open. Area code 717. Your mic is open. You're on the air. Your mic is open. Your phone might be on mute, so we can't hear you. Area code 717. Hold on, let me keep going down the line. Brother Donia, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom. You know, I was been trying to talk all along. You understand, and forgot that I had changed phones, and I got back on. They knocked me off, and I got back on, and so you weren't able to hear me. But I wanted to try to answer the question that the sister just posed. It was something about the thing is with me is that when man and woman get together in the house in the nation of in Israel, you understand, they both got to be on the same page. You can't get somebody and I don't mean messianic or non-messianic. I mean, if you're going to get a woman that's involved with Christianity, that's going to have conflict. You understand? If you're a Hebrew Israelite, you understand?
Yeah, I see.
And a man and a woman got to be able to understand the position that they hold, You understand? If the man has the last word, you all discuss things and you have problems, you discuss them, and the last word goes to the man. You understand? Now, he might relinquish his authority by giving it to the woman, say, you know, and say, well, she makes the decision. You understand? But for the most situations, you understand, the man has the last say. But that don't mean that you're going to argue about it. You both talk about it, and both of you reach the same conclusion, or the man has a reason to, because it says that, you understand, about the woman. When she make a decision, the man has the right to override, you understand, that decision. But that does not give him the position of being a bully, you understand, and want everything to go his way. I think that they both got to be able to agree with one another. Now, you understand, I want to say also this here is that I got a card in the mail, and it talked about how a great-granddad that I've been. I never thought that, you understand. I always just thought that I was just doing my duties as a father, as a granddad, and et cetera. But other people look at you, and they draw their conclusion of you. Sometimes, man, if you're doing well, they're going to speak highly of you. A woman had came by our house years ago, you understand, and one of my ex-wife's is a friend, and she told her, and I'm just hearing this, you understand, she told her that she adored the fact how I kept my children respectful. Everybody in the house was, they weren't all over the place and the child, overbearing and all that. It wasn't like that. I always thought that I never thought of it like that. You understand? I just thought that I was supposed to be fulfilling my charge. I was in charge of those kids, and I was going to bring them up the best of my ability. You understand? But we never know how other folks is looking at you. You understand? You know? And so I just wanted to try to weigh in on that type of stuff. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Area code 717, your mic is open again. You're on the air. Anyone else that wants to push one, please feel free to do so. And I think this is really important for us to have this conversation evidently today, because a lot of people have rough times dealing with relationships. That's why we have the men's call and the women's call and all of those good things, because it allows us, and sometimes we have to come together. It allows us to be able to communicate to one another, because it just floors me how it's difficult for people to love each other. Just love each other. Some people don't know what that means. Sometimes y'all have to show you what that means, but it just requires us to love each other.
Well, you
and
know
I think
something. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, yeah, I was.
Well, you know something. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brother Donai. Go ahead.
Okay. You know something. You know, if you read that book, you never see any place in that book where the man was overbearing or the woman was so overbearing. They all got along. You understand? When Sarah gave up her handmaiden to her husband. You understand? Most women would not be able to know in these days and times. They would never do that.
Right.
But they all got along, man. You never read, you understand, where he beat his wife, you understand, to get her to understand. None of that stuff never happened. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that they had disagreements. And guess what? The man ruled. His decision was the one that they went with. You understand? Yeah. Oh, yes, dear, you can do that, or no, dear, you can't do that. And sometimes you give an explanation for either one. You understand? So, you know, we've gotten out of sync, you understand, with who we are. We the people of the Almighty. You understand? Yeah. A holy people. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we should be the example, to set the example. But the thing is this. There's so many things that we have to deprogram ourselves from. So many ways of thinking that we have to deprogram ourselves from to even allow us to love each other. Because like I said, those things that I mentioned earlier were things that were drilled into me by people who felt the same way that everybody else felt. And one thing I've learned is that the game is rigged. It's not equal for everybody. The opportunities are not equal for everybody. And when we understand this whole captivity, we understand. Now, it is some people that have made it to certain levels and have experienced a different lifestyle, and that's wonderful, but we're talking about a nation as a whole. And as a whole nation, because of environmental situations and home lives and, you know, being the parenting skills and all the things that we had here, you know, you have so many things that you have to work through before you can even get to that point. And I think that that's where we have to start. It's so much work that needs to be done. We just got to roll up our sleeves and do it. We got plenty of things to keep us busy until Yah comes back, in my opinion.
That's true. That is true. And I agree with that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, sister. Go ahead.
No. But I was just thinking, I agree with Sister Yaina about how we've been programmed. We've just been so programmed within this captivity of our role. And it's not right in every situation. And that's why I just want to make sure now that I'm woke that we are respectful of our fathers and our males who are in obedience and trying to adhere to the Most High's laws, statutes, and commandments. So any way that we can support you in that way, not what we were taught from TV and the media and this captivity, but based on our conversation here, how we can make that better.
Yeah, our God is the true and living Elohim, and we got to recognize and understand that is our Elohim, our power. You understand what I'm saying? He's the one that's creating all of this stuff that we see. He's allowing all of these things to happen. He's not a part of, he said he created righteousness and he created wickedness. You understand? I think that when he told them people from the north to come down on us, they had a rule and regulations that this is what they followed. They were wicked from the start. You understand what I'm saying? But he never knew, the Almighty never knew how far that they was going to go. He knew that they was righteous. I mean, they was wicked. You understand? Because he said he's going to send them people down on us, no people. You understand? And then since we've been under that captivity, we haven't had one day's rest. You understand? You know? And so, the thing is that, you understand, we've been indoctrinated, you understand, for 2,500 years. We have not practiced our laws, and we don't even know our own culture. You understand what I'm saying? We've been so wrapped up in this 400-year culture that when we think about Israel, I mean, when we think about our past or what we're about, you understand, we have to include the Western culture, because we don't know nothing about our culture at all. You understand? So I agree with Sister Yaina. There's certain things that we're going to have to get out of our system. You understand? If we don't, we're going to die. Because we got to understand that righteousness, there will be no unrighteousness seen in our land once we go back home. So we're going to have to do that. You understand? And I don't think that we got a whole lot of time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Mm-mm. Well, guess what, you guys? We have come to the final part of our show. I have enjoyed this conversation. As we always do. It don't take long when you get to talking good. You can talk for hours and hours. But, you know, I really do appreciate the new voices and everybody speaking up. because this is what matters. You know, our base is growing. I think we have had 78 or 79,000 listeners, and, you know, we're listened to in about five different countries, and we have people that are regulars. You know, we have a regular people that have subscribed to the radio show. So all things are going well. You know, we're doing our part, and that's what we have to continue to do. But before we dismiss, I'm going to go up the line and give everybody a chance to say some final words. And, of course, we're going to start with Brother Donia. We're just going to go up and call your area code, and then we're going to dismiss for the evening. So, Brother Donia, take the hymn if you like.
I just want to let everybody know that I love the Almighty with all my heart and soul. And I see the hour coming back home. I see it formulating. You understand what I'm saying? We just got to hold on and pray and ask the Almighty to forgive us for our sins. You understand? And don't repeat those sins. You understand? Don't be coerced into doing something that's going to get you out of favor with the Almighty. All praises to the high and holy name. Hallelujah.
All right, area code 717, what would you like to say? I'm going to close their mic up. Area code 720.
Stay diligent, be comforted, knowing that the Most High has got our backs. Stay in obedience and look up, because our King is coming.
All right, area code 336.
I agree with the last caller. Let's stay in obedience and just keep looking up, because truly Elohim is coming, and we want to be right when he comes for us, you know?
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Area code 47. Brother Yerah Shalom?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to say stay prayed up, and let's continue to build and grow like we're doing right now. This is starting to become a real beautiful thing, Sister Yaina. This whole thing
yes,
is starting to become really beautiful.
Yes, it is. You want to give information about the men's call?
Yes, ma'am, I most definitely will. For all those men that are out there that are listening, the men's call is here every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the number for that call is 720-820-1215. That's 720-820-1215, and you do not need an access code to come on to the call.
All right, thank you so much for that. Brother Uriah, last but certainly not least, you could say your words and then give us your website for your book, please.
Okay, I just want to just encourage everyone to continue to seek the Most High and know that he's coming soon. And my website address is www.uriahbook.com.
All right, everybody, that's that. You've heard it from the men and the women, and look at what a beautiful movement this is. And don't forget to buy his book. We expect you guys to go on there. And have a wonderful rest of your week. Don't forget our meeting on Monday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time if you'd like to help us to build this nation, because we have both Messianic and non-Messianic, and we're getting ready to go home. Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your week. Have a wonderful one. Shalom. Bye-bye.